Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. If you can, talk about one of the episodes. So many of the speeches that you focus on are obviously prepared addresses. And there are speechwriters and there are various folks who put polishing touches on their speeches, whether it was Barbara Jordan's keynote address at the 1976 convention or one of the speeches that Barack Obama gave after the church shooting in Charleston. But one speech that has always been important to me since I was young was the talk that Robert Kennedy gave on the evening of April 4th when he got off a plane for a campaign event in Indianapolis. And that was back in the day when people didn't have cell phones and news traveled slowly. And he gets out of the airplane, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a group of people waiting to hear from him. He obviously has heard that Martin Luther King had been shot and killed, but the crowd did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a debate, as I understand it, and as you talk about in the episode, which is wonderful, should he tell them or not? Describe the importance of that speech and what the consequence was. And would you have advised him to tell them about the death or not?
So Senator Kennedy learned, Dr. King was killed about 6 p.m. In Memphis time. He was going to supper and then to a mass meeting when he steps out of room 306 of the Lorraine Motel. John Lewis, who has ended a two-year self-imposed exile after he lost the chairmanship of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee to Stokely Carmichael in the spring of 66, he has rejoined the arena working for RFK. Lewis is in the Indiana primary was a huge test case in 68. It was going to be anyway, but then when Johnson got out of the race on Sunday night, this is all on Thursday, it was going to be the first time that Humphrey and Kennedy and McCarthy were all going to be running against each other. So all the Kennedy forces had poured into Indiana. Kennedy gets off the plane. Johnny Apple, R.W. Apple Jr. of the New York Times, tells Kennedy that King's been killed. They have a two-way car radio set up, and Kennedy calls John Lewis, who's in the inner city neighborhood, advancing the event. And he says, "What do you think? Should I speak? The police chief doesn't want me to speak." Interesting, right? The police chief doesn't want me to speak because he was afraid there'd be violence. The chief was. And Lewis drew on his experience from the movement. In some ways, that the eulogy that means so much to you was, in a way, kind of the last speech of the civil rights movement as we think of it. Because Lewis said, when you have this many people in a moment of emotion, you have to speak. You can't send them away. They're here. They're here for something, and you've got to give them that something. And so he stood on the car. He's wearing his brother's overcoat, interestingly, in that moment. It was largely extemporaneous. I won't even try to do justice to it, but it's empathetic. He talks about his brother's death. He argues against violence as a reaction, thereby making a stand with Dr. King and with John Lewis and Jim Lawson and others for the nonviolent strategy, which is much easier spoken of than acted upon.
We can move in that direction as a country, in greater polarization, black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites, filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand, compassion, and love.
And Indianapolis was one of the few American cities that did not experience rioting in those terrible days. And with the Ripples of Hope speech they delivered in Cape Town, I suspect that's the most important speech Robert Kennedy ever gave.
Good decision. One observation I've always had about speeches is sometimes a speech has an effect based more on the delivery and the performance than on the words. And later you look at the text of a speech and you can see how thin or how thick it is. Bobby Kennedy, unlike his brothers, was not quite as powerful a speaker in many ways in terms of delivery. He delivered his speeches more quietly. He stumbled a little bit more. But I think in a lot of ways, when he spoke, people leaned in a little bit more than when Jack Kennedy spoke, who projected very loud and had a particular cadence to his speech. And some of RFK's speeches were more powerful because they were quieter.
And this goes as a wonderful insight. And I guess this is retrospective, but it kind of doesn't matter. It's also about the different phases of the 1960s. All right, the 60s begin with the clarion call of the romantic yet practical cold warrior of John Kennedy. And they end with his brother talking about economic justice and racial justice and his hand shaking because of the nervousness. And the other thing to remember is they were all so goddamn young. Oh, my Lord. I mean, they were just... Dr. King was 39 when he was killed. I think Senator Kennedy was barely 41. President Kennedy was 45.
All younger than you and I.
Mrs. Kennedy was 31, I think, when she went through the funeral. I mean, it's staggering when you think about how young they were dealing with these cataclysmic events. And I think it should give us hope. I think that I'm not saying that because things worked out in the past, they're going to work out again. But I think if we take the right lessons, hopefully, you know, our kids and grandkids will be able to read about this era and say, that was a close call, but they came out of it. Let's just hope we come out of it.
Amen. Thank you again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday with Ann Milgram and me, and stay tuned every Thursday.